Tove. Okay. Yes.
The mascot, no, winter next year.
Sheer next year is Friday morning, 8:30. Okay? 8:30 means 8:30. Okay? Good? Okay. So, today's topic, though, and we will be done in an hour eight, probably less. So the Gemara at the end of the sugya of Ger Katan, the bottom of the Aleph Aleph, brings up the notion of Shlote Kala Be'inav Lehotziya. Right? The context there is what? Right, the Gemara says,
for a potential bite.
What?
Ksuba for a potential bite.
Good, right? We have someone who's a ger katan, so we don't know if they're going to reject their Judaism, right? So there's a machlokas, Abaye and Rava about ksuba, right? Does she get ksuba? Rava lower Abaye ksuba hangu taima shalote kala beinav lotzia. He assumes that she obviously gets a ksuba because it's important to us that shalote kala beinav lotzia, which means. It's not going to be easy for him to divorce her. We want it to be something he takes seriously. Fine. Now, this phrase, while here, right, it's a derabanan, right, appears many places in Shas, and I don't know how much in the course he got through, has resonances in a daraisa, and what I want to do is use this phrase and how it builds up just to build a basic theory about the nature of ksuba and how it fits into the general picture of ishus in the Torah, okay? A little bit ambitious. We have an hour. Let's go, okay? So first, let's just go through where this phrase comes up in Shas. So the first one in our sugya, which claims that even though, right, what's basically the argument here is that even if someone might not technically be married to you, right, because she might not be Jewish, still we give her a ksuba because until we know she's not Jewish, right, we want to make it shalotei kala beinav lotzia. We don't want you to take the marriage lightly in case it's real. And that's what it means here. Okay? Now, what order did I put it in? Because I made it. Okay. So it comes up also Yevamos Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes. Okay, so someone tell me the context there. Right, so let's spell it out. So in Lamed Ches, right, we're talking about not a regular husband, but right, Shemeres Yava. Right? A Yavam and a Shemeres Yavam. Right, so what's the discussion there?
That if the Yerusha of the first husband is that her ketubah?
Right. So what we say is normally the general rule is that if somebody dies and he has a right, and now it's a case of Yibum, so the brother, the Yavam, inherits. Right, he's Mamalei Makom Achiv. He takes his brother's property. And the ksuba is paid from the nechasim of the original husband. But the Gemara then says there's an exception, right, which is... And so the Gemara says, why is it that it comes from the original husband? Because... Isha hiknalo min ha-shamayim. Right? Now, this phrase becomes a central phrase for many Rishonim Yevamos, even though in the Gemara it seems to be a very technical monetary claim, which is, what is it in this context, what does Isha hiknalo min ha-shamayim mean? Right, meaning he didn't choose to marry her. Right? He didn't choose to marry her, and therefore we are mimayit the responsibility he has. Not entirely, because remember, he has the rights to his brother's nechasim, so it's not like if he doesn't have money, right? It's not like he's not losing out in some respect, right? That is money that's related to him, right? Even the nechasim of the original brother. But that is where the money comes from, because bikaron, right, he didn't want to get married. But, the Gemara says, if he doesn't have money, if there's no money left in the Yavam's property, so then the second husband, meaning the Yavam, has to pay the ksuba from his own property, because, Tlokala Be'inav Lehotziya. And so how does it function here, right? It's similar, but slightly different, right? The first case was a case of, we're not sure if the marriage is actually Chal, but still we don't want him to devalue marriage, Shalotei Kala Be'inav Lehotziya. Here, right, Shalotei Kala Be'inav Lotzia argues that even though Isha Hiknalo Min HaShamayim, even though he didn't accept these responsibilities, once they are married,
then it applies.
Right? Once they're married, you can't, right? We don't want them to get divorced. We still value the marriage enough that if, right, in the balance of things, we'd rather be paid from the first husband's property, which, because he's still the primary address, yes, it still affects the second husband, right? It's not like it doesn't affect him at all, but it's not primarily his property. But we don't want him to devalue the marriage entirely, okay? Yossi.
Didn't we learn in that, in the Mishnah, that he would theoretically be getting the property?
Right. So I'm saying it's like, so it's not.
It is
that's what I'm saying. It affects it. Yes, that's right. That's what I just said. It is right, but it's not right. It's not. He is not losing out money.
Right.
Right. So it's correct. So the cost. Right. It costs him something. Right. This is why someone. Right. A few people ask me this. Right. Correct. It's not going to be totally kala. Right. It's not that. Right. Someone said, well, if he doesn't have. Someone asked me this morning. Was it you? That possibly that if. The first husband has money, so it's going to be Kalabein Avlotzia? No. Right? He still owns the Yavam's property, so he still stands to not really lose, but minimize his gains from having done Yibum. But it's not the same as losing. Right? It's not the same that right, he does Yibum. Now he's, so now, if the brother leaves $50,000, $100,000, and the ksuba is whatever the number was, right? For, you know, you remember I will share at the beginning of the year, whatever the number comes out to, right? Let's say it's $20,000. It's not, but let's say it's 20. And so you still come out 30,000 ahead. Right? Yes, you didn't come out 50,000 ahead. You come out 30,000 ahead. So it's not totally kal, but you made something. If the husband left $10,000 and the ksuba is $20,000, you lose, and obviously that's going to hit harder than losing gains. So
isn't the din that all the next day habal rishon or mishubak to the
ksuba? Correct.
So that he effectively can't sell any of it. He can't really do much with it. It's going to sell mishubat.
No. When something's mishubat, it doesn't mean you can't sell it. You're allowed to sell things which are mishubat. It just means that they can be tarei from it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's context two. Context three. What order did I put this in? Okay, that's parallel to this. Pei beis, yivamos, pei zayin amud beis, and pei tes. So what's the case over there? Here it's the opposite. Here it's a case where we say we want it to be kalav bein avlotzia. Yeah, so what's the case?
When the husband goes to sea, gets lost.
If the husband goes to Nisayam. And it comes out that she ends up marrying somebody else because she thinks her husband is dead.
Right.
Then, when she divorces that second husband, right? Second husband, yeah. Second husband. When they leave, right, there's no ksuba. Why? Because we want them to get divorced. And so if we were to make them pay, obviously, right, if you get divorced, then you have to pay. He wouldn't want to do it so much. So we say, no, right, there's no ksuba to encourage you to get divorced. Okay, and what did I give you? The last one is, I give you two more, ksuba islamat tes, amud beis. What's ksuba islamat tes, amud beis, and ksuba nandalad? Well, good. So what's the case in ksuba islamat tes, amud beis?
That's where the payment of the ksuba.
Right? Do you pay a ksuba in a case of where someone is forced to remain married to the where the husband is forced to remain married to the wife because of an iser daraisa? Because the onus, right, the me'anes, rather, the rapist has to remain married. So there's two dais in the Gemara. One dais says
it doesn't make it. The ketubah itself is the curse.
Right. Well, one says he doesn't have to because they can't get divorced anyways, and the other one says still. Because
it's also for her.
Because right, and
he can't.
I mean, he can divorce her, right? He just can't initiate it, but he's going to create a situation in which she's going to want divorce, right? So it's still possible. So it's still relevant, right? So both of them accept shlokei kala bein avlotzia, but they argue to what extent, right? Is it that since they can't legally get divorced, right, ksuba is less important, or no? Even then, it's important because it may not be legal, but there are ways to manipulate the system such that you could bring a divorce. Okay? And Nundalid?
Well, there's a badonis. A badonis, right?
That one is a badonis, and the what's halacha?
The brothers do support her.
Right, again, here's the, right, this is the suffix, right? Loma, right, since he can't divorce her, no, right, is there ksuba?
Yeah. What?
Right, should there not be ksuba? Take it. Okay. So we have several places in Shas where this phrase comes up. Now, the general picture becomes clear. Ksuba is used by Chazal to encourage people to remain in marriages that they should remain in, and if they don't want people to remain in that marriage, then they get rid of ksuba. Right, ksuba, at least one of the central functions of ksuba, as Chazal understood it, was to encourage people to remain in marriages, right? It's to solidify marriages. Okay? Now, what I want to do, like I said, is trace this through from the Daraisas and show that this notion isn't just a Derabanan, but in fact that this idea that Chazal instantiate in the Ksuba right, through the mechanism of ksuba, in fact, reflects something very fundamental about the nature of kiddushin d'oraisa. Okay, so the second source I gave you, I think, was the Sefer HaChinuch, right? Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah tav kuf ayin tes. So there the Chinuch says, what is the reason for gerushin b'chsav? If you notice, he never tries to justify why gerushin exists. The Chinuch tries to justify why gerushin is done b'chsav. Why is it that we divorce through a shtar?
He does that first.
First he explains why there exists gerushin, right? And then he gets to it. So first he says, why does gerushin exist at all? Right, so he says, why does gerushin exist at all? Some people came over to me that they had problems with this Chinuch. I understand, right? The Chinuch says what, right? Why is it? Yossi.
I was going to ask about how he started off with this whole like Min HaShemayim stuff. You know, like he said, marriage is Min HaShemayim.
Okay.
Min HaShemayim. Did he get that from the Gemara that we were learning first? First Gemara we learned?
No. No, that's by Yibam.
You got it from
Adam and Chava. You got it from, you know, marriage is from God. God is the Shadchan. Right? Kasha Zivugan shall, right? Shall B'nai Adam Yoser mi Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? It's done by God 40 days before, you know, whatever. Right? I assume he got it from there. Who knows? Yeah, Yitzi.
Maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but if the point of Suba is to say Kalabay Nabal Tziyah, then why does an Almana get a Kura? Like, why do you...
So I should have given Makaras about it. So the... right, the Gemara answers this, right? Why does Nalmana get it? Right, there's a second function of Ksuba, which is... I mean, there's a few functions of Ksuba. In addition to Shlokav and Letzia, it also practically supports her, and also Mishum China, right? That the fact that you're giving... Right, I should have mentioned that, right? In addition to preventing you from getting divorced, what does it make you do? What does China really mean?
You appreciate her more.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you appreciate the marriage itself. I mean, it doesn't make it easier for a woman to get married if you demand money. What it does do is it makes you, right, it makes you
value. Correct,
right, meaning, but it, what it really does is it makes you, right, it makes people value the marriage or value the woman, right? fine, okay. So the Chinuch mitzvah tavka fainte. So he says, what is the reason for the mitzvah of Gerushin? And so he starts with this interesting claim. Right, a woman was created to help man, and she's like one of his valuable vessels. Okay, and God wanted to be that if, right, you don't want this kli anymore, that you should be able to divorce. Okay? Then Thomas that's why Beisilel paskens, even if she is makdiach tafshilo, which most people translate as she burns your food, though my inclination, and I've heard other people have this inclination as well, think that machtiach tafshilo probably doesn't mean that. It probably means, yeah, it probably means some that had an inadequate sex life, right? Because, yeah, because this mashal is used throughout Shas, through the notion of right, tafshilo, of ochel, all that, throughout Shas is used to describe sexual relations. So probably what it means is that, and not something as flippant as ruining her food. I have no proof of this, but there are many indications in Shas that that's what linguistically this phrase would mean. So the Gemara says, "Klomer b'vnei davar katan." The point is that for a small thing, they can get divorced. Achar she eino lo ela kli yakar sheva bayit. And Beis Shammai says, "Mehem she yomru ki miyotz kli hazeh b'tzalmo b'dmuso." Since this kli is actually a human being, v'chana kill a circle l'chlodo. Whatever. A nine l'rosa is nine l'shma v'nechav is a kli and can see and hear and think. Ein raylo tila shalchem yalav ki im v'tanak dola. You shouldn't get divorced except for a very good reason. Kinyan shamar kazev ki matzah b'arvad davar. Oh, v'kol makom, whatever. Divrei akol, everyone agrees. Kishim zu b'dvar gadol, that if she in fact can mitzvah shoroi l'garshim at tamz l'charti shilo nevrezel b'shvilo v'achar shehi lo moras ruach v'nafshu katzav right once he doesn't like her. And there's a real problem. You shouldn't be afraid of divorce. Okay. So he says divorce has to exist as an institution. But Tivtanu Torah b'shalchinu ota levilti shalcha b'dibur levad. God said that if you're going to get divorced, you can't get divorced b'peh, Or you can't just say, I divorce you, and that works. Pen yelanu zel even negef, letzur michshol lihyot zima tachat amenu. Because that would cause a stumbling block, it would cause people to be promiscuous. Because someone could always claim, look, I was divorced and you just didn't know about it, because my husband divorced me, right? It was without witnesses, just and it would make divorce easier. But now that we're obligated to write it down, to have a get, and have witnesses, so first of all, it can prove the divorce. And additionally, it helps. And it will give the husband time to calm down, to discourage him from getting divorced. So the chinuch, if you notice what he says, right? He says a few things, but one of his claims is that the very institution of gittin, the fact that divorce happens through writing, itself is, if I would phrase it rabbinically, is God's way of shlote kala bein of lehotzia, to prevent divorce, to make divorce difficult. And so you see that, yes, Chazal think that this is what's behind ksuba, but the chinuch thinks that this is actually behind gittin, behind the notion, the way gerushin actually exists in the Torah itself. Now, I remember I was once reading a book discussing Islamic law. In Islamic law, apparently, though I haven't checked into it too detailed, but I did read it there, so I'll assume it's somewhat accurate. In Islamic law, how do you get divorced?
Just say leave.
Bepeh. And these problems, in fact, happen. First of all, they can't prove it. And second of all, people have one fight and they get divorced because you say a lot of things. If you're really angry and you say, I want a divorce, in Islam that basically works. Right? So he's not making things up. It's in fact true. And it makes sense, right? If you don't, right, the fact that you have to go through a complicated legal process. Right? Are there any TBC guys here who've seen Gershon? Has there, did Jasher take you guys? And Jasher for a long time took students to see Gershon. I've seen a few. I wasn't here, you see, but I've sat in a few. I mean, it's right. It's not an easy process, right? The fact it's not so difficult. What
people let people sit in on their divorce?
That's kind of strange.
They bring them as aidim. You need witnesses anyways.
Yeah, but not a whole classroom of kids.
You didn't bring them all at once.
Right.
I sat in on a few. I've sat in a few bat eidim, but okay. But the fact is that it's true, right? You go through the whole process. You have to write it. It's not so easy to write. It's exactly 12 lines, and it has to be the exact number of mistakes because we make a few weird things in the ksuba. We don't do it perfectly. Right? If you ever see a perfect ksuba, you know it was done by an amateur.
A get.
It's a very complicated process, and there's edim, and then there's the, you know, the dropping in the hands, right? The pasuk says you have to give the get in your hand, and therefore we promptly do not give it in her hand ever, right? Because we're choshesh, that if we give it to somebody, right? If I give this to somebody, right? What's the problem? Did I give it to him or did he take it?
Oof.
Good question. So this is actually what we do, right? Put your hands up. This is how we are mekayim bin asan biyada. We drop it, right? Because then we know that I gave it and she didn't take it. Okay, this is what, whatever. It you know.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
Whatever, this, you know, okay. So that's how you get in work, okay? So the chinuch's point is that d'oraisa, part of the reason that a get is bichsav, that the notion that we have a divorce, a writ of divorce, and not not divorce papeh, is itself shlo dekala bein of lo tzia. Now, the third gemara I gave you, I think, the third thing I gave you was Bava Basra, right? In Bava Basra, if you want to see yet another instantiation of this, right? The gemara in the beginning of that perek, right, Daf Kuf Samach, says that there were different types of shtaros, and one of the types of shtaros is a get mekushar. What's a get mekushar? It's folded in a complicated way, and there's witnesses on the back folds, and the Gemara says, why do we have a get mekushar?
It takes a long time
for kohanim.
Good. The Gemara says for kohanim. Right, why? Because it takes a long time to put it together, and
irreversible.
Because Kohanim can't marry a grusha. So while a normal person, if he divorces his wife, as long as she doesn't get married in between, you have the option of remarriage. By Kohanim, you don't. So what do? We make the shtar even more difficult to delay the process to give you time to calm down. Right? So you see, yet a third instantiation. Right? The Chinuch thought this is the reason for get bichlal. The Gemara says that Kohanim, because their divorce is more final, we actually make the shtar more difficult to make, to make it even more difficult to get divorced. And now, historically, whether Chazal are correct about this is not entirely clear, because it seems like the whole ancient world actually had these, right? And they were used, or not the whole ancient world, but a good part of the ancient world had these staros, and they were used as to index, right? You know, like the old yellow, like the old filing cabinets with the folders that had the little tab that come out. So it seemed to have been something like that, right? And a lot of, so it may be that they chose to write documents like this for that reason, but at least one of the reasons in the ancient world was simply that you can use it, right, when it's folded like that and you have things written on the outside, right, you can use it as a tab. But okay. Yasi.
I'll ask after.
Okay.
Islamic law.
You can ask me later about Islamic law. I don't know much about that. What I just told you is all I know on the topic of Islamic law. I mean, I know other things about Islamic law. It's the only thing I know about Islamic marriage law. I really have no idea about Islamic marriage law. I read this once in a book, and I was like, oh, it's a Sefer HaChinuch. That was the extent of my knowledge.
They only allow Masir Grushato and, like, not
divorce. I don't know. I don't know. Look it up on Wikipedia. There's internet in this room. There's internet in this room. Usually, yeah. Bikoshi, not great internet, but you could probably look it up on Wikipedia. Besides, you'll have smartphones. It's not a big deal. Okay. So again, right? Chazal institute ksuba shlotei kalav meinav lotzia. According to the Chinuch, that is one of the time answers gerushin itself. We see yet another example in Bava Basra where, in a case where gerushin is more final,
we delay it.
We make it more difficult to write a get. Now, ksuba in general, we paskin is daraisa derabanan. Derabanan. So here's the big problem, right? It may be derabanan, but we're already seeing that some of the parts of ksuba have resonances daraisa. Okay? And that seems to be true. Besides the fact that the basic chiyuvim of the ksuba are clearly daraisa, which are shirksos v'ona. What they mean? Good question. Right? Rashi over there translated in line chazal, which is ksheres. Ksheres. Is mizonos, and ksus is
clothes,
and ona is good. And the Ramban translates all three as bia, all three, right? Ksus doesn't mean clothes. Ksus means right bed sheets and things like that, right? It's all of them relate to bia. But okay. But bikaron we paskin the ksuba is derabbanan, and yet, right, the notion that there should be something that would make marriage more difficult to end has daraisa resonances. Okay. So now let's continue and look a little bit at the nature of Kiddushin and see that basically this is true, right? That while it may be true that what we call Ksuba's Derabbanan, the basic yesod of Ksuba, namely that we should have something that solidifies marriage, that builds in responsibilities that make it harder to divorce, that make marriage more solid, is itself fundamentally, right, the Daraisa Chiddush of Kiddushin. Okay, so what did I put you? I gave you the fourth one is Sanhedrin. Okay, so even though we paskin that ksuba is Rabbanan, there's some shitas who say that's not entirely true. So Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says the Gemara there is distinguishing between Nashim and Pilakshim. What's the difference between Nashim and Pilakshim?
Ksuba and Kiddushin.
What?
Ksuba and Kiddushin or just Ksuba?
So they're different girsos in the Gemara. Right, which the different Rishonim had. Rashi says that the difference is
ksuba.
That a wife has a ksuba, a pilagesh, does not have a ksuba. The girsa that we have in our the girsa that many of the Rishonim had in their Gemaras is, and this is the way the Rambam Baskins is, an isha has kiddushin, the ksuba, and a pilagesh does not. So fundamentally, the difference is not the ksuba, but the kiddushin, is the marriage. So the Rambam Shita makes a lot of sense. But Rashi, even though we paskin ksuba derabanan, thinks that, well, even though we paskin derabanan, ksuba is the difference between the institution of right, ishus and pilagshus. And so either he's paskining, yeah.
Isn't it sort of the
decision, I guess, in Psak that Subhas Darabanan is a relatively late development.
So it could be that he paskins Subhas Daraisa, right? Which is itself a machlokas, right? Gave you the Yerushalmi, right? Rashi didn't make it up, right? It's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi, Subhas Hebeis, and who holds, right? There's 2 days in the Gemara there. What's the difference between Pilakshus and Ishus? And the Gemara's 2 days are?
Ketubah.
Did people look at the Yerushalmi?
Yeah.
Good, right? I mean, I can... I'll read it. Yeah. Yeah, there's more. I mean, both of those days are Mofia, right? Let's pull it up. Ksubos, hey, bet. Where are we? There we go. Right, Ezu Isha Ezu Pilegesh. Remeir Omer, Isha Yesh Laksuba, Pilegesh Ain Laksuba. Rehuda Omer, Achazu, Achazu Yesh Laksuba, Isha Yesh Laksuba, Utanai Ksuba, Pilegesh Yesh Laksuba, Ain Latanai Ksuba. And Rehuda Bishem Rav, Zudivir, Remeir, Rehuda, Vadri Chachamim, Nose Adam Isha. Etc. Okay? We'll leave the third day aside. Right? The first 2 days, though, think, right? Remeir thinks that the difference between Isha and Pilagesh is Ksuba, and the second day thinks the difference between Isha and Pilagesh is Ksnai Ksuba. But even according to him, the difference between Isha and Pilagesh is something that the Ksuba is, the enhanced part of the Ksuba, right? So, right now, it may be that this is only according to the Shita of Ksuba Daraisa, or it may be that even if you hold the Ksuba Darabanan, right, the fact that you're committing to the woman in the way it's reflected in the Ksuba, in fact, is the dividing line between a full-out wife and a Pilegesh. Now, I put there also the Rambam. The Rambam paskens like which Shita? No ksuba and no kedushin. The case of Mishnah notes, right, this machlokas between the Rishonim, right? He notes, I think, the Rashi and Ramban, I think he quotes. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So, what we get from this Gemara is that, at least according to Rashi, the dividing line, right, what makes Ishus unique, right, what makes full-out marriage unique? And so, according to the Rambam, it's very simple. It's marriage, right? Marriage makes marriage unique, right? But according to Rashi, what makes it unique? Ksuba. Now that could be you hold Ksuba Daraisa, right? Maybe even not, right? Some of the Achronim for sure assume that this is even if you hold Ksuba Darabanan, still the dividing line is going to be Ksuba, because still the difference between Isha and Pilegesh is to what extent is the level of commitment, and Ksuba represents a certain level of solidity in the marriage, a certain level of commitment in the marriage that transforms it from mere concubineship. Whatever it is, concubine, sure, that, and marriage, yeah, you see.
Based on, like, the sigya of Ksuba Darabanan Daraisa, all the details, it seems, like, rather possible that Ksuba is not a mitzvah Daraisa, but it is a concept Daraisa.
Correct.
So you think a little bit on where, obviously, the Torah recognizes the concept of Ksuba, which turns it into Isha, but it doesn't recognize...
Correct, and I agree, that's what I said, right? The basics of Ksuba, Sherek Susan Ona, and some of the manifestations clearly have some Daraisa, right?
Yeah, but even
and
the,
even the concept.
Even
Correct. Gemara Basilis for sure, right? I don't want to give a full shear on Ksuba Daraisa Drabana. You're right, it's a little bit complicated, right? But yes, it's possible that Daraisa, we recognize the notion of Ksuba and the actual way it manifests itself as Darabana. Right? That's what you're saying, yes?
As in the Chiyu. I mean, because the Rambam says basically it's Aser to have a Pilagash unless you're a king, right?
Correct.
So... maybe that's what the mitzvah derabanan of ksuba is, that it's usher to have a pilagash.
Well, not for the Rambam, because the Rambam thinks the difference is kedushin. Right, kedushin v'ksuba.
That's true.
Right, so the Rambam doesn't work, he thinks the difference is kedushin.
Okay.
Right, and there's no evidence that Rashi holds like the Rambam, that you can't have, that only a melech can have a pilagash. But yes, it's possible, right? So either here we're talking about shita ksuba daraisa, which at any rate, it's telling that the line, at least for Rashi, would be between marriage and Pilakshus would be Ksuba. And even if Yitzi is right, which I'm inclined to believe he is right, which is that even if we think that Ksuba Derabanan, that doesn't mean it's totally Derabanan, right? It means the way we manifest it is Derabanan, but there's some Chiyuvim, right? There's some basic notion of Ksuba Daraisa, which yes, you see in the Sigur Mara Basilos and in several places. Either way, what you see is that ksuba, in whatever form it takes, is the dividing line between what we call marriage and what we call pilakshos. Right? So, it seems that it's not just that ksuba is a way of making it shlote kalabain of lotzia, but in fact it's definitional. The fact that it solidifies marriage actually defines marriage. I mean, the definition of halachic marriage is tied up with the fact that it's permanent, right? That there's responsibilities. Okay, so where would that come from? Right? Where would that notion come from? So, here we go to the question of a more basic question. Before we get to ksuba, before we really get to ksuba, the question we have to ask is
marriage.
Right? What is marriage? So, if I ask you a question, did marriage exist before the Torah? Yes or no?
Yes.
Look at the Rambam.
Yeah, right.
Did marriage, any form of marriage, exist?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The Rambam tells a story, right, of how marriage looked. So the Rambam says, right, it's a very nice little story. Before Matan Torah, how did marriage look? Anyone have a Rambam? Want to read it?
Yeah,
right, famous line, yeah. Someone else want to read it? I can pull it up.
It's basically summarized in the words
What?
It's basically summarized in the words Mitar then Mijane.
Very good. Marriage before the Torah was Mitar then Mijane. Very good, thank you. Good, now go ahead. Good, so what was marriage before Matan Torah is what we call in English Mitar then Mijane. Fine. It's what we call in English. What do we call it in English?
Living with somebody?
What? Cohabitation or common law marriage. Right? Where there's no legal part, there's no legal structure. What is there? They agreed to sleep together. Zeu. Right? Pag Isha Bashuk, he meets her in the marketplace, says, I like you. They move in together. He gives her a key. Zeu. Okay?
A multi-night stand.
Sure, but no. A little bit more commitment here. What? Okay, right? So that's what the Rambam describes. That was Kiddushin before. Good. Like continue with the Rambam. What?
It's like a forever step.
Yeah, sure. Forever. Sure. Go ahead. Good. So then the Rambam says that what did we were, that at Matan Torah we were commanded that what?
Yeah, that they did.
Kiddushin.
Ah, but let's be careful. So what does the Rambam say? Right. What did Matan Torah do to Kiddushin? Did it create the institution of Kiddushin?
It solidified.
Well, not exactly. What did it do? It says, if you're going to get married, we're going to transform how you do it. Now, what do we do? So what does he include in that? Right. After Matan Torah, the Jews were commanded that what? What would be included in marriage? First of all, there has to be a kinyan. Right? You can't start your marriage by cohabitation. Right? First, you need to...
I mean, you can, kind of.
Well, sort of, right? What do you do first?
Some sort of kinyan.
Now, meaning you need to formally initiate the relationship. Now, Noam is correct that there are three ways of initiating a marriage. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So Kesef and Shtar, I understand. But Bia, a little bit more difficult. But not really. Because there's a Safing in the Gemara, if you were Mekadosh B'Bia, does that also accomplish Nisuin? We paskin it doesn't. Which means that even if you started your marriage through Bia, you're not fully married. You only have Kiddushin and not Erit, and you have not Nisuin, which means that, right, it's not that you started living together. You can live together once as a symbolic beginning of the marriage, but the full marriage doesn't start just because you cohabited, because you didn't just start cohabiting. It doesn't work. First, you need to do Kiddushin. And even if the Kiddushin is done through Bia, still, right, you don't live in the same house. To the point where, that we know that there's an Isser for husband and wife to be together between Erisin and Nisuin. According to Rov Rishon, that's Darabanan. But according to? So the Shinu Gwetzes quotes, right, that there's at least one Shita that is D'Araisa. That it may be that the Isser to be with your wife after Kiddushin, before Nisun, is D'Araisa. And this is even if they married with Kiddushin Bia. Because the Bia of Kiddushin is not mere cohabitation, right? It's a symbolic act that initiates the Kinyan Kiddushin, but the full marriage, Nisun, hasn't started. Now, what is Nisun? Yichud, they move in together. In other words, what is Nisun actually?
Marriage as it was.
Is marriage as it was. If you think about what did the Torah do, it added Kiddushin to Nisuin. Right? Nisuin is essentially common law marriage. So, right? And there are implications of this in Psak, right? I mean, Rav Henkin famously held that people who live together common law marriage are, halachically,
married.
Who argued on this? Moshe Feinstein, right? The Nafkamina in America was conservative reform marriages, right? It was Machlokas from Moshe and Rav Henkin and secular law, whatever. So continuing the Rambam, right? So the Rambam said, what's one Nafkamina is that you have Kiddushin, that you need a Kenyan first. Second of all, that Kenyan needs to take place in front of?
Edim.
What else does he add? He continues. Right, so the Kenyan is Daraisa, there's three ways of doing it, Kesef, Shtar, Shtar, and Bia, great. Right, then he continues. Good, and then he emphasizes that Kiddushin makes them married. Even though there's a second step, they're actually fully halachically married even before they move in together. That's the Chiddush of Kiddushin. Right? It doesn't exist pre Matan Torah, right? Nisuin's not like that, right? The marriage is defined by the fact that they live together. Okay? That's halacha gemara, right? And then dalet is right, and then halacha dalet is, and if you want to get divorced, you need to get right. So the chiddush of the Torah is that before the Torah existed, there was something called marriage. But what type of marriage was it? Common law, it's cohabitation. They just lived together. That continues to exist post Matan Torah, similar to what we call nisuin. But the chiddush of the Torah was that if you want to engage in this basic human institution called marriage, right, you need to do it in a different way. You need to do it with a Kiddushin, which means you need to start with a Kenyan. It needs to be public. You need witnesses. If you want to end it, you need a formal way of ending it, which we call a get. Right? A formal writ of divorce. That's what the Torah added. Now, in the Rambam, the Koteret, how is he actually menaseach it? Right, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddushin is? Right, is to do it with Kiddushin and Ksuba. He doesn't mention it right at the beginning of these halachos, but he, even the Rambam, who thinks that Ksuba is Darabanan, right, and who thinks that the difference between Ishus and Pilakshus is not about Ksuba, still thinks that intrinsic to the mitzvah of Kiddushin in some way, shape, or form is Ksuba. Okay? Now, I gave you also the Yerushalmi, right? Is that the next source I gave you? Yeah, right? Yerushalmi, Aleph, Aleph, and Kiddushin. So, the Yerushalmi is an interesting question. The Yerushalmi goes back to this original marriage, right? The marriage of Goyim, right? Which has continued with the pre-Matan Torah marriage, okay? So the Gemara there says, if Goyim want to get divorced, so then what happens? So the Gemara has two possibilities. What are they? Yitzi?
That they can't.
Right, so the first possibility is Ein Lehem Gerushin, which means what? One of two things. Right, the first possibility is they have no Gerushin, which means either they can't get divorced, which is Catholic marriage, or they don't need divorce. Right, so that's the first possibility. It has two possibilities within it because we don't know what it means. Right, the Yerushalmi is a little bit vague. And the second possibility is
they have it,
but
only one can.
But either of them can get divorced. Right, there's no process. It's just, in other words, what's divorce?
Common law divorce,
which means
stop living together.
Yeah. Right, I move out. Right, I think I've heard that, you know, this Yerushalmi many times. I think it was when I was in Reb Lichtenstein's shir. He said the second day in the Yerushalmi is what is common law divorce? I hate you and walk over the door. You slam the door. Right, that's common law divorce. Right, you leave the house. You just leave. You walk out. If he walks out or she walks out, they're not living together. I don't care who does it; it just dissolves. Right? So the Yerushalmi has two or three. There are three possibilities that come out of the Yerushalmi. Only two of them the Yerushalmi suggested, but I don't know which two. Right? That Goyim who've continued to have what we call common law marriage, right, pre Matan Torah marriage. How does divorce look? Well, it looks different from than ours. Either they don't have it at all, and they have Catholic marriage, or they don't need it. Right? There's just nothing like that, or they do need divorce, but either of them can initiate it, right? There's no real formal process. What the difference is between those two is a good question. I don't know if there's a semi. If the Yerushalmi is imagining a semi-formal process, and I assume the simple plot of the Yerushalmi is that, right, Ein Lehem Gerushin means they have Catholic marriage, or they can split up. But again,
where did the other one? How could there ever be a Dinavishus
Ish? Ani Maskimitcha. No, there isn't. I should clarify. No, there is such a thing as Ishus Ish, because I mean, this should be mukar to anybody who knows anything about Western culture, right? It could be that people still consider themselves living together, even though one of them is sleeping around, right? She hasn't left, he hasn't left, but he's still sleeping around, right? That's totally...
all through the mentality.
What?
All through that. That still requires something to make them divorced.
No, because you could have something called an open marriage or an open common law marriage, right? That would presumably be Eish HaZish, right? Open common law marriage.
What would make it not? What would make them not marry in her mud and make it?
She decides to leave, right? She decides to end.
So that's the process.
Yeah, I mean, she has to leave, right? Or he has to leave. One of them has to leave. They have to end it. They have to decide that they're not together.
How's that different than the third option?
No, so I understand. The problem is, right? That's why I tend to think. So I'm not sure, right? When people say that the first standing Rishalmi is Ein Lahen Gerushin means there's no Gerushin, meaning which presumably means that they leave, right? And the second day means that one of them has to leave. I assume they conceptualize some sort of quasi-formal process. But no. Pashas in Yerushalmi is that the suffix is there Catholic marriage or is there just divorce, common law divorce? Right? I assume that's actually what Yerushalmi means. Right? I assume. But like I said, when I was in Shir at different points, Rilchonsin and Rosenzweig suggested different formulations that Yerushalmi, so I'm just going to note that those possibilities exist, even though I'm not entirely sure what it would mean. But what the Yerushalmi points out is that one of the defining factors of marriage is, in fact,
divorce.
How you end it, right? Which is what it becomes clear from the Rambam, right? That not just was the Chiddush of the Torah Kiddushin, it was also Gerushin. It was also the way that we get divorced. Now, this also becomes evident if you look at the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos. Because the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos, and Reish Yud Gimel and Reish Chavet. Reish Yud Gimel is Kiddushin, Reish Chavet is Gerushin. So, I understand how there's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, right? I could say there's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, a proactive mitzvah to get married. We can dispute, is it tied to Peruvu, is it not tied to Peruvu? If it is tied to Peruvu, are women chayev in it, are they not chayev in it? Right? This is all Dionim and the Rishonim and the Achronim. Fine. But the Rambam doesn't actually phrase the mitzvah as an active mitzvah to do Kiddushin. How does he phrase it? Right? Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam, Reish Yud Gimel, second, Mitzvah Sasei. HaMitzvah, HaReish Yud Gimel, who? Shesivanu, Liv'ol B'Kiddushin, Vatei Davar B'Yarisha, Ubishtar U'Bibiya. It's not to get married, it's... if you get married, to do it in this way. Right? Now, that makes a lot of sense in Gerushin, Reish Chavet, where he says the exact same thing. Right? Reish Chavet, he says what? The mitzvah is, a mitzvah Reish Chavet, who? Shetzivanu Ligaresh Bishtar. It's not a mitzvah to get divorced. Because it's not a mitzvah to get divorced. Right? There's a whole Dion Rishonim. Why don't I make a bracha when I get divorced? Isn't it a mitzvah? Right, this is an extensive Dion in the Rishonim. Right, this is a very, 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 very long and very famous tshuva by Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, which appears in many, many collections of Rishonim. It appears in the Tshuva Sarashba, Chelak Aleph, Tshuva Yud Ches. It appears in the Yevudram, in Ochot Brachos. A truncated form of it actually appears later in the Tshuva Sarashba. Yet again, it appears in a lot of bases, which is a whole list of why do I make brachos. And the question comes up, why don't I make a mitzvah on Gerushin? So some of them say, well, usually it's usher, right? What if it's a chiyuv, right? When dvar erva. So they say, well, if there's dvar erva, still the institution of gerushin is not usually a mitzvah, or it's wrapped up in a bad thing, it's wrapped up in peronus, or whatever. But the simple reason is that gerushin is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, right? You have no obligation to get divorced, right? You have a mitzvah that if you get divorced, that you do it bishtar. It's a process mitzvah as opposed to a mitzvah chiyuvis. It says that the chiddush of the Torah wasn't the institution of marriage, but it was how you get married or how you get divorced, right? Even if non-Jews had divorce, right? They had not formal divorce, right? Now, it is possible that non-Jews don't have divorce, right? The Yerushalmi means they have Catholic marriage, in which case it would actually be interesting because the Torah actually enabled divorce, right? But if you think about it, it's true that it would enable divorce. But now let's go back to the Chinuch. Why do you enable divorce? Why would one enable divorce?
Because the marriage is going to suck if they don't.
Exactly. Because you need, in other words, right, you need a
than marriage.
You need, right? You don't just need marriage. None of the Torah values marriage. It values the quality of the marriage. If you don't have the possibility of ending the marriage, then what's going to suffer is marriages that should end in divorce. Right? I don't know if you read, there was an article last year, maybe 2 years ago, in the New York Times, in the opinion section, by Tova Mervis, discussing when she got divorced. She was discussing, that she didn't say it at the time, the Boston Beis Din, where she notes that the Av Beis Din, and the Boston Beis Din, right, Pollock, I've been there for this, when he finishes a divorce, he says to the woman, Mazel Tov. When Europe, when they used to get divorced, they would say Mazel Tov. Why would they say Mazel Tov? Because... What? Yeah, or the way it was phrased is, right? In Europe, someone once got divorced, and they said to the person who was getting divorced, he was a Rav, and they said, how can you get divorced? The Gemara in Gittin Daf Tzadi says that what happens when you get divorced, afilu hamizbeach morid alav demos, even the mizbeach cries for the marriage. And his response was?
Tears of joy.
It's better that the mizbeach should cry than I should.
I like that. Right?
That's fine too. But Zerai Pollack said that the institution of divorce, it's sad. It really is. But why does it exist? Because you don't want people to be stuck in a dead marriage, right? That's not encouraging the sanctity of marriage. It's just not, right? To be stuck in a dead marriage. Right. Yes, you want to slow the process, but you don't want to make it impossible. In fact, the fact that you know marriage can end is what encourages you to maintain it. Right? The same reason, right, that if you didn't know you were going to die, you would have no impetus to live your life to the fullest. Right? Because it's never going to end. So, okay, so whatever. If I don't do it now, I'll do it the next millennium. Right? Right? That doesn't work if you know that there's a finite end. The same is true of marriage. If you know it can end, then you work to making it, right? You work to make Kiddushin itself work. Right. Now, Rosenzweig likes proving this from a very clever little argument. The Gemara in Daf Tzadi says, right, as a three-way machlokes, what's a legitimate reason to get divorced? So, Beis Shammai says, only Dvar Erva. Beis Hillel says, afilu hikdichat nafshilo. And Rebbe Akiva says, then maybe he, right? I'll read the Mishnah. And it's the last Mishnah I'm getting. Has anyone learned getting here? No? Okay. Yes? So what's the last Mishnah in Masech is getting? Right? So those are the first Mishnah. Kiva Omer Afilu Ma'ach Acheret Na'ahimena. Even if he found someone that he likes better than his wife, he can get divorced. And the Rambam has a comment. Well, why don't we paskin like Rabbi Kiva? Because he can marry both of them. Right? Because mid'oraisa, there's polygamy. So he points out, if someone wants to get divorced because matza acheres na'imena, that means there's something wrong with the marriage. It's not, right? If he simply wanted to marry someone else, right? So let him marry somebody else, mid'oraisa. But if his first thought when he finds a woman is, I want to divorce my wife and marry you, that means the marriage is flawed. So what's Rabbi Akiva really saying? Is if you get to the point where your first thought when you see somebody else is not, oh, I like her also, which is also a little bit not great because the Torah doesn't love polygamy, it just permits it, but you don't even entertain that possibility. You say, matzei acheres na'imena, and we got to get divorced. Right? That shows that there was something wrong. Right? You're looking around because you're not happy in what you're doing, which means the marriage is already flawed. Right? Which is a clever argument.
Why doesn't that work the other way around? Meaning, like, if we say that if the woman says, oh, I'm a tommy to the husband, we don't let her get divorced because assume she wants to with another man, why don't we say, oh, if there's something wrong with the marriage, she gets a divorce?
Well, we don't encourage something to be wrong, right? We still want to fix it, right? We don't want to push it along, right? But it's true that if at some point a woman says Moes Alai, right? We do allow her to get divorced. We in fact force him to give a get, right? It's not quite that simple, right? Okay. What other makaros I give you? I gave you that, right? That's what I gave you. Oh, okay, the Meiri. Okay. So this all comes together in the Meiri in Zakdama de Kiddushin. Do people get that far? Some people did, some people didn't. Okay, so I'll read it to you. Okay, the Meiri basically sets up this theory Very clear, very, very clearly, okay? So the Meirin is Hakdama de Kiddushin. Let's get this. Amar Menachem ben Shlomo Leves Meir. Right? Right, so we start Mesechah's Kiddushin, Kvar Ba'anu, Pesich, Zachibur, Alza, Seder, Seder, Nashim, She'ikar, Nyano, Balavar, and Nyane, Ishos, Bichlala. Right, we want to explain the nature of marriage, Hain, Bin, Yane, Bayis, Rishon, Bin, Yane, Kiddushin, Vaksuba, right, both the first marriage, Kiddushin, and Ksuba, Hain, Bin, Yane, Chorbano, and the destruction of marriage, Kenyan, Agitin, Visibota Perud, and the reasons for getting divorced, Hain, Bin, Yane, Bayachani, or second marriage, Ratzalomar, Kinyan, Hayibum, Vachalitza, right? Not just remarriages, but Yibum, Chalitza, Vinyan, Asota, V'chein Be'arnu, and we also explain Shenichlo Banyan in Nidarim and Nidziros, and also included in Seder Nashim is Nidarim, which discusses primarily right how far is Nidarim. That's how it gets there, is because a husband has rights over his wife's Nidarim. Unidziros Lasiva Shezacharim. That's because it's connected to Nazir. B'psicha Zachiver V'chein Arnu Shagonim Kol Baze Odvarim Shalom Inyan Eishos V'Shalom Inas Seder Rakshem Inyan Zovim B'sitz V'Hanashim V'Hein Inyan Misachos Nida. Okay, then there were other things that were included because they're not actually Nashim. But the Gonim didn't learn Taro, so they would learn Nida with Nashem. Fine. V'chein is Karnu Shizos Masech Ratzalom Masech Kiddushin. He Kodemes B'Sidurein L'Sham Masech Tos. And in his count, Kiddushin came before Gerushin. Leos Inyana Kodmin Binyana Ishus, because it's the first thing, right? It's about marriage. V'Inyanu. Now he said, what is the nature of marriage? Who? Shekodem Matantara Lohayalam Ishus. Before Matantara, there was no Ishus. Elakshad, right, this should sound familiar. Elakshaya Dambogea Isha Bashuk, if someone met a woman in the Shuk. Vyashrabainav and he liked her, and he would speak about marriage. Vim Neosin Zelazah, and if it was good for both of them, Machnis Leveso, she moves in, and then she is his wife. When they would fight, right, with each other, they would just leave. We therefore, there was no fear, there was no right commitment, really. She had no reason not to undermine the marriage. Right, or to make nedarim just to drive, right, just to midar kaza love, just because she was angry. V'lo haya etzlam kesher chazak, and there wasn't a strong bond. Rabinyanim elu ela biyibum. The only thing they did have was yibum. She'a mochach etzlam b'lo shum peirin l'sibak duma b'munatam b'nyan nefesh. Which they also believed in because of whatever they believed in. Probably gilgulim of sorts, which is how the Kabbalists do understand it. U'kishenas na Torah, when the Torah was given, it's davu liyos inyan ha'ishus b'kesher chazak. What was the chiddush of not just kiddushin, but of the entire institution of ishus? That we should have a solid, strong bond. Be'irzin, Binisuin, Be'edim, Biksuba, Vishol Yuchol Shachal Beget. Right? All the things we mentioned, that there's that Kiddushin is done prior to moving in, and that when it's done formally, it's done with witnesses, it's done with Iksuba, that you can't get divorced except Biksav. U Kishitizake Glachiv. Amazu below Zerzhidia, Zikaza Diteres, Vikaz Bechalitza. That you would have Yibum, but what did the Torah add? Not only did it add an out clause to marriage, but it added an out clause to Yibum. Right? That we kept the institution of Yibum because it makes sense, right? It maintains your commitment to the family and not just to your husband. But we also recognize that just like marriage needs an out clause, so does Yibum. So we added to this institution of Yibum, Chalitza. Vishaye Yahol Yasra Imsatam Menu. And what else did we add? We added Sota, we added a means by, first of all, someone being punished if they violate the marriage, and a way of testing it if, in fact, there was a problem. And we give him the ability to, right, to prevent her from controlling him. Right? I mean, what is a neder, right? If she says, right, what type of nedarim do we pass in that a husband can be mevatel? Not all nedarim, but beinu leveina. She says, I make a neder that I'm never going to be with my husband, right? I'm going to undermine the kiddushin. So what does the Torah say? No, you can't, right? Your husband has the right to undo that, meaning we don't allow either party to have so much power to single-handedly undermine the marriage easily. And this is what the entire Seder of Nashim is about. Okay? So now, if I want to summarize, right? I wanted to make one point and build it very simply. There's a lot more to it, but I just wanted to build a basic point. Okay? It seems to be that the real chiddush of the Torah was not the institution of marriage, but was that the notion of marriage, the notion that people would live together, has existed time immemorial. It always existed. People always lived together, even in somewhat permanent relationships. What the Torah did was it transformed that common law institution into something that has kedusha. How do you do that? By making it a kesher chazak. By making it that this common law marriage comes with responsibilities, that it's formalized, that it's part of a community and not individual, that there are ways out to ensure that you're not stuck in a dead marriage, but that even those are, first of all, formal, right, and take some time, right, so that it's possible but not easy to get divorced. And so what did it do for that? For marriage, it added kiddushin, and it added ksuba. It made kiddushin not a private affair, but it made it with edim. What do edim do? They make it public. They make that marriage definitionally is known by all. It's a public institution. It's a davar shebe erva. It affects other people. We've required you to preface the common law marriage with a kinyan. Right? You have to first announce your intention to marry, right? To live together, rather. So how do we do that? With a formal process that precedes that. Yes, it can have bia, but even that bia is not simply moving in. It might be there's even an iser daraisa to be together between kedusha and nisuin, even if you did kedusha bia. Probably not. Probably only iser darabanan, but still, right? We added ksuba, which, according to some people, is the definitional difference between isha and pilachos, between marriage and pilachos, which is the closest remnant of what we have of common law marriage. Especially if you think, right, it's closer. It's not full kedusha. Now, it could be ksubas darabanan. Even if it's darabanan, though, the yisod exists daraisa. The chiyuvim clearly do, and there's definitely the notion of mor b'sulos. It may be that our particular instantiation of it is darabanan, but fine, the notion still exists daraisa. We have a get, but the mitzvah isn't gerushin. It's that if you're going to get divorced, we have a process, and that process does a few things. As the chinuch said, first of all, it allows a way out, but it allows a way out, but it requires what?
Formality.
It requires formality, which, what does it accomplish? It makes time. It gives you time, right? So that marriage doesn't start on a whim and it doesn't end on a whim. This notion that the real chiddush of the Torah to marriage was not the institution of marriage, but sheyeh kesher chazak, that it should be a valuable institution which is built in with responsibilities, right? Where everything is done b'cheshbon, right?
Intentionality,
sure, right? That's really the chiddush of Torah. And kedushin and gerushin, gittin really, and ksuba and sota and hafaras nedarim are all expressions of that notion. That kedushin should be strong, but not interminable, right? In all the different ways, right? Not that you can't terminate it, and not that it should feel like it should go on, right? That it's endless, right? But that the marriage should be strong, but not impossible. That we want to sanctify the institution of marriage with responsibilities. And that's really the yesod. And that is picked up, not just in the daraisas, but the rabbanans. Right? I think the reason that shlotei kalab einab lehotzia, or the reason that the institution of ksuba, that we know, chazal themselves justify it, to not make it easy to get divorced, they're not pulling it out of nowhere. That itself is what they learned from the institution of marriage as it presents itself in the Torah. So they just expanded on that. And they said, look, if a marriage is worth keeping, lote kalabeta of lotzia. If it's not, then what do we do? Right? Once the Torah says this isn't a marriage that should end, what do? We get rid of ksuba, because when you should get divorced, then kalabeta of lotzia. The whole institution of ksuba is meant to reflect the Torah's position on marriage. When marriage should last, we impose the ksuba. When it shouldn't, we get rid of it. Right? Shlote kalabein of lotzi is the esod of marriage. The araisa and the rabbanon are simply expanding on it. Well, you see from the Gemara Bava Basra, it's not just the rabbanon are expanding on it. Right? The kohanim, right, picked on it also. The harder, right, the more permanent divorce is, the harder it is to divorce. Right? So they themselves made it get more complicated. Now,
also they made it too more.
Good. Now what I put, Birufruf, at the end, is that in addition to that, it's not just they made it harder to get divorced, but if the marriage is more valuable, what did they do? expensive. They made the ksuba more expensive. The ksuba is not just a way of preventing marriage, but like I said, the same by almana, right? Why is it that even someone who dies gets a ksuba? Because first of all, their responsibilities, but also the fact that you have the ksuba makes you value the marriage itself. The more valuable the marriage is, the higher the ksuba is. Meaning ksuba also reflects the nature of your marriage. Now I put, just one second, I put, and I don't know if people got to this, that right, the Gemara says that it's not only the Ashes Kohanim who had a more expensive ksuba. Who else was it? Mishpachos Abiyuchasos B'Yisrael. Meaning families who viewed marrying into their family as more valuable up the ksuba. Now I gave you a Gemara in Psachim, which in fact, right, has the flip side. Right? It's not just that it's ksuba. Just to prove to you that in fact, this ksuba reflects the value of the marriage. Did you get the Psachim? So the Gemara there says that Amaretz lo yisa bas kohen. That there's the Gemara has a prohibition for an Amaretz to marry a bas kohen, right? And in the same context, the Gemara says you shouldn't, right? That right, who should marry the kohanim? Tamidei chachamim. Because it's clear that it wasn't just, it's not arbitrary. It's not just they wanted the ksuba. It's that the marriage itself was valued more, right? It expresses itself in this statement of the Gemara that the only people who should marry Kohanim are Bas Kohanim are Tamidei Chachamim. Now, I gave you also tshuvos there to why we don't see this applying Bisman Hazeh. Presumably, it's because there's a whole bunch of reasons brought down the postgame. Either because the Amaretz we're talking there is not a non-Talmud Chacham, it's either someone who knows nothing and probably hates people who do know things, right? Because if you look at the continuation of the Gemara, it describes the people who were Amei Aretz, who literally wanted to bite the heads off of Tamidei Chachamim, right? The Gemara has this phrase from Rabbi Kiva, Kishayidi Amei Aretz, right? When I was in Amei Aretz, they used to say, I want to bite Tamidei Chachamim like a donkey. And his student said to him, why do you want to bite like a donkey? Why do you want to bite like a dog? And he says, because when a donkey bites, it breaks bones. And a dog doesn't break bones, right? So it's clear we're talking about, right? And the Gemara says, and Abu Relazar, and Amaretz mutter l'shacht, mutter l'nachrol, feel the Yom Kippur, shechalios b'Shabbos, and Amaretz you're allowed to stab, even on Yom Kippur, shechalios b'Shabbos. And the Gemara says, and then the Gemara, the Talmidim say, Rebbe, why would you say stab? Emr l'shachta, you should say you should do shechita. He says, no, zeh ton bracha, zeh ainu ton bracha, right? So the three, what?
That's not perfect.
I don't know how serious the Gemara is, but the point of the Gemara clearly is we're not the Rishonim point now. We're not talking about normal Amaretz. We're talking about people. What?
It's a great
kind of Gemara. So we're talking about Amaratzim who are right. There's a real problem, but the point remains right that the standards for a normal marriage were not the standards for Bas Kohen, and the fact that Chazal conceptualized this way that right people who are Miyochas or Talmidei Chachamim should. Right, that their marriage is more valuable, expresses itself as in ksuba, right? You should expect that you shouldn't just have statements about ksuba, you would have expressions about marriage, because ksuba reflects the value of the marriage itself. Okay, so in an hour, and now it's 5 to 1, I'll take your question, we'll be done. Right? I think that's the basic notion of what you should get, actually, Kalabain of Otsia, is that when you look even if ksuba derabanan, you should realize that the yesod is daraisa, that it reflects the basic yesod of what the chiddush of marriage was in all of its details. Actually, I'll just one more point there. Rosenzweig, like making this context, is he notes that if the psukim in the Torah of Kiddushin and Gerushin both appear in what parsha? Kitetze in Perek Chavdalet Pasuk Aleph, but meaning what parsha? What unit in the Torah? What's the primary discussion of that parsha? Machzir Gushaso. Right. We never hear about Kiddushin or Gerushin except in the context of Machzir Gushaso. Then why? Because marriage and divorce are not fundamentally Jewish institutions, but machzor grushaso is, meaning the notion that what does machzor grushaso prevent?
Wife
swapping, right? That's what machzor grushaso is. Right? It prevents someone from divorcing, allowing right. It prevents legal wife swapping, right? People from divorcing, someone else marrying the spouse, and then divorcing again and remarrying. You can't do that. That's machzor grushaso, right? You're allowed to be machzor grusha before you've swapped. Right, so that highlights the fact that the fundamental chiddush of the Torah is to sanctify the marriage and make it more permanent. And we learn about kiddushin and gerushin. We don't need the Torah to tell us about kiddushin and gerushin. We need the Torah to tell us what it means to be married. So it all comes up in a context which is clearly devoted not to having marriage, but the nature of marriage. Which I think is an interesting point in the Pesukim. Yeah.
How do you How would this whole concept, the whole institution of marriage and gittin, et cetera, is based on a desire to have a personal connection, relate to like the modern day Aguna problem, where it's clear that the relations have soured, yet there's still no way to get out of
it. So Al Regal Achas, what I'll tell you, and this is Al Regal Achas, the Rambam in the third Chelek of Mor Nebuchim says that you should expect that just like the laws of nature are bikaron a good thing, but they lead to bad results sometimes because that's the nature of generalities, law, even Torah law, is the same thing. That the nature of law is that you, and we'll come back to this Rambam when we do a Kiras Tavon HaTorah, so it's good it actually segues. The nature of law, by definition, is it deals in generalities. What that does is protects people from claiming, I'm the exception, right? But the result is that certain people are going to be.
There still are exceptions.
But there are exceptions, but because law has to work in generalities, there are going to be people who suffer, right? Law is made to protect the values of the system in as many cases as possible, even though sometimes it fails, right? We'll get back to this with the Kiras Tavon HaTorah on Friday, which I assume Rav Moshe is not, but I promise you we'll get back to this Rambam. He did put it, I think, this Rambam, but we'll build the Rambam Shita and hopefully we'll answer that question to an extent. Okay. Yossi, one more question, then it's lunch.
I'll ask you after.
Okay.